Book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. It's a big chapter. Okay, start from verse 1.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite.
When God is telling Ezekiel, tell the children of Israel, I'm going to go back and tell you your life story. Here he's saying, your father is Amorites and your mother is Hittite. Now somebody takes this and said, we trace the Israeli people's root. They were not Amorites. They were not Hittites. Why God is saying this? This is simply like this. If you don't like somebody, then you name them some worse name. Like Jesus Christ, he didn't like these Pharisees, so he says, you are like your father, the devil. That is in St. John chapter 8, verse 44. Similar idea here, because these people are the children of God, but they are acting like the children of devil. So what he's trying to say to them, let me tell you, Noah had the son called Ham. And he saw his father's nakedness. And so Noah cursed. And he says Canaan will be cursed. And when you see when the Israeli people came to Canaan, now Canaanites came from Amorites and Hittites. All these people came from Canaan. So God is saying, you came to Canaan, instead of trying to be a God's children, you became children of Canaan. That's why he's saying, your father is Amorites and your mother is Hittite. And if you want to know these things, you have to go to the Genesis chapter 9 and Genesis chapter 10. I don't have time to tell you, but Genesis chapter 10 verse 15 and Genesis chapter 9 verse 24, if you read to 27, 9 chapter shows about curse, chapter 10 about telling about Hittites and Amorites. And so we know these Hittites and Amorites, Canaanites people, they were cursed people. So he says, you're supposed to be blessed, but you became a cursed people. Okay, verse 4.
And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field, to the loathing of thy person, in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live.
Somebody will say, when this happened? And when this Israeli people were a little baby and dying in her blood. You remember God promised Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, and he says, I will make you a blessing. And through you, all the world will be blessed. And now we know in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, he says, Jesus Christ, who is the son of David, and son of Abraham. So, Israeli people, Jewish people, Muslim people, they came all from Abraham. But the Abraham, God was going to bless him and make a big nation. And God told him, listen, bring the sacrifice and I'll tell you how I'm going to bless. It's a long story, but we covered this when we were teaching the book of Genesis. But here we see, Abraham was very hurrying to bring the sacrifice at noontime, and all the vultures and start coming to take and destroy and defile the offering. That was just like God told him, I'm going to give a son, and he went to Hagar, hurriedly want to be blessed. The same way he did, hurriedly he wanted to sacrifice and get the blessing, and so he saw horror, and God said to him, listen, now your children, they are going to go to Egypt. Because of your stubbornness and because of your hurriedness, now you are not going to get a land right away, but your children going to go to Egypt, and 400 years they are going to suffer there, and then they come out, and then I'm going to give this land. So the what happened here, when they went to Egypt, at that time, Joseph was there, and they had beautiful time, wonderful time. That Joseph died, and the Pharaoh comes, and they gave them hard time, and they were almost destroying the Israeli people, and they were killing. You saw the Ten Commandments, how they were bleeding, and how they were dying, and how they were suffering. That was the time God says, I saw you in your blood like a baby. Because that time, the Israeli people were not nation. Only time we see in Genesis chapter 14, verse 13, Abraham was called the Hebrew. But the Hebrew nation, Jewish nation, was not even born. So now we see in Egypt, they are trying to form a nation, but they were like a little baby. It's not even formed. The nation was not formed, and the nation was completely going to be destroyed. And that's why they were killing their babies and throwing the babies in the water and everything, and they were going to be destroyed. But here the word of God says, and God says, leave. You are not going to die. This is Egyptians are trying to kill you, but they are not going to destroy you. And if you read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 9, God says he saw them, and he says, I indeed saw your misery. Little baby was born, and umbilical cord is not cut, means the nation is not formed, and the baby is supposed to die. But he says, I had the compassion, and he said, I saw your misery, you're going to die, but I said, live. And that's the time God prepared Moses to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, if you read, he says, out of Egypt I called my son. So now, it's like, here he gave the example of a girl, but he's saying, like a boy, I called you out of Egypt as my son. When you are born again, we call the sons of God. Even the girls or ladies or everybody called son. But here he was giving an example as a nation, as an Israeli. That's why he used the word female. Israeli people were formed and born in Egypt. They were going to die. God says, live. I saw your misery, and I prepare a man, and they brought out of Israel. Okay, start from verse 7.
I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thine hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee, and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness, yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God. And thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I throughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil.
Now you see, when the Israeli people came out of Egypt, they had to go through the sea. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, he said that was the type of water baptism. The water baptism does not clean you outside, but it cleans you inside. So he says, they bought them, they washed them, and then God said, now I'm going to make a covenant with you. So he said, make the tabernacle. And then in the tabernacle, give all these rituals and how to sacrifice and how to make them clean and washed. But as soon as they came, God says to Israeli people, ask the Egyptian, get all this silver and gold, and then you will be rich. And so you read the book of Exodus chapter 12. Please read verse 35 to 36.
And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians.
Psalm 105, verse 37 and 38. Psalm 105. 37, 38.
He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them.
Here the word of God is saying, you are poor, you are naked, you are just like babe, you had no strength, but when you became a young lady, I brought you out of Egypt, I gave you silver, I gave you gold, and I gave everything, I washed you clean, I made a covenant with you, and that's what happened to Israeli people. Before you could make a covenant, these people made the calf, and they started worshiping the heathen god. Okay, let's go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, starting from verse 10.
I clothed thee also with embroidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen, and silk and embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour, and honey, and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. But thou didst trust in thine own beauty, and playedst the harlot because of thy renown, and pouredst out thy fornications on everyone that passed by, his it was.
Now what happened? They came, they defeated all the seven nations and 31 kings. We already studied that. And then first king, Saul, after that, and when the David became king, his kingdom spread to all over the Israeli. And he was very famous. After that, his son, Solomon, became a king. Now he says, you became a kingdom. So now this small nation came out of Egypt like a baby. Now she's grown. Not only that, she got all the beauty, all the silver and gold. If you read, the silver and gold like was like a dust at that particular time. The king of Sheba and many other kings got the silver and gold to the Solomon. That's why he was able to make the temple with the gold and silver and things like that. So their fame went all around the world. Everybody saw these Israeli people, very famous, very strong, very mighty. But what happened? Solomon, even though he was very humble, he said, Lord, I cannot lead my people. I cannot do anything. I need your grace. I need your wisdom. He said, you didn't ask anything other thing. I'll give you wisdom and I'll give you wealth. Solomon was the wealthiest king ever lived on earth. So now the word of God says, I give you silver, I give you gold, I give you beauty, you famous, and everything was flourishing. What happened? Solomon start marrying all the heathen ladies. And then he start making the temples and everything for the heathen people. Let's read the 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 28. Here he says, Solomon is so wise, and everybody knew what he was doing.
And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgments.
See, they saw the wisdom of God in him, and he can do the judgment. He's the wisest king, and all the Israeli people admitted this is the greatest man and greatest king ever lived. But go a little bit further, chapter 11 and verse 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 to 13.
But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father.
Okay, we don't have time. I said, go home and read the whole 11th chapter, then you'll know what I was trying to tell you. Here we see that Solomon's fame went all around the world. Like the word of God says, your beauty, seen whole world was thinking, the Israeli nation is the greatest nation on earth. And so what happened? Solomon started, the great king started worshiping idols, and so everybody start thinking, if the Solomon is the greatest man and he could worship the idols, so we can do the same. And that's what happened. Okay, go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, okay.
And of thy garments thou didst take, and dexed thy high places with colors, and played the harlot thereupon. The like things shall not come, neither shall it be so. Thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and of my silver, which I had given thee, and madest to thyself images of men, and didst commit whoredom with them, and tookest thy broidered garments, and coveredst them, and thou hast set mine oil and mine incense before them. My meat also which I gave thee, fine flour and oil and honey, wherewith I fed thee, thou hast even set it before them for a sweet savor. And thus it was, saith the Lord God.
Now, exactly what God is saying here, we read in the book of Jeremiah. How these Israeli people, every street, every high places, every mountain, they had the idol worshippers. And they were doing idol worship. So God says, I gave you the money and the jewelry and silver and gold. You made the all the heathen gods. And you start worshiping every corner, every street, and every places you start doing it. And what the riches I gave you, the good flowers and honey and oil and everything, you start giving to the foreign gods. And so that's what God is saying. When God has given you everything, and you start using on your luxury, using on your sin, using on your purpose, then that is not going to stay too long. That's what's happening to these Israeli people. Let's read for verse 20.
Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and these hast thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this of thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? And in all thy abominations and thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and wast polluted in thy blood.
Now hear the word of God is saying, you took my children and you sacrificed them to heathen God, and you destroyed my children. I gave my children for you so you could be glorifying God. So what's happening? God given children. Now some of the ladies do not have children. Some they want children, and people who has the children, they are aborting their children and killing their children, and they getting more, and the people who wants it, they don't have it. So here he's saying, because of your sinful habit, I give you all so many children, and you destroy them, you kill them, you sacrifice them, you burn them, and you are doing all these things for your luxury, for your selfishness, looking at the heathen people. If they're doing it, I'm going to do it. And you're going astray from the real God, and you're worshiping the heathen God, and you're worshiping the idols, and God doesn't like that. The first commandment is given in the Bible. It said, you should not have any other gods or any idols. But see, when these people flourish, and they got wisdom and money and talent and everything, they start wasting on Satan and them demons. Okay, verse 23.
And it came to pass, after all thy wickedness, woe, woe unto thee, saith the Lord God, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place, and hast made thee an high place in every street. Thou hast built thy high place at every head of the way, and hast made thy beauty to be abhorred, and hast opened thy feet to everyone that passed by, and multiplied thy whoredoms. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way.
We learn in the book of Jeremiah, when God told these Israeli people, I bought you out of Egypt, don't go back to Egypt. And what did they do? They not only they went, they took Jeremiah and they took his assistant, and they went there, and not only went there, but they start doing idol worship in Egypt. So God is saying, I call you out of Egypt, you're going back to Egypt, and you are doing all the idol worship and all the evil things in Egypt and surrounding countries. What the people start doing, for example, just like as Solomon married every king's daughter so they will not fight with me, that's the idea. So the Israeli people, what they start doing, they start giving money to other countries so they will not fight. So he's saying in this chapter you'll be reading, you are like a prostitute. Prostitute supposed to get money from somebody, but you are a different kind of prostitute. You give money to other people to have sex with you. That means you are so desperate that you are giving money and making friends. But he says, this is what you are doing. And so now you are thinking they are your friends and they are going to keep you safe, but I'm going to raise those people back, and they are the one going to destroy you. Verse 28.
Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou wast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou wast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan at the Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine eminent place in the head of every way, and makest thine high place in every street, and hast not been as a harlot, in that thou scornest hire, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband. They give gifts to all whores, but thou givest thy gifts to all thy lovers, and hirest them, that they may come unto thee on every side for thy whoredom. And the contrary is in thee from other women in thy whoredoms, whereas none follow with thee to commit whoredoms, and in that thou givest reward, and no reward is given unto thee, therefore thou art contrary. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out, and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers, and with all the idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them. Behold, therefore I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness. And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy. And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare.
See, this is exactly happened. All her wealth and everything was taken. Egyptian people came. After that, the Babylonian people came. They took all the silver and gold and jewelry and destroyed the temple, took the gold from the temple, and they make these people miserable. And God says the time will come, the famine, the sword, the disease, and everything will come, and you will suffer. And exactly happened to the children of Israel, because they did not walk according to the will of God. Whatever God gave it to them, they start giving to other countries. And that's what he says, you gave it to other people, but I will bring them back to you, and they will destroy you. And now you had all the beauty and all the beautiful clothes and everything, you will be naked again. And then this kind of nakedness will be not like when I saw you before. I cover your nakedness, I put my clothes over you, I made a covenant with you and a marriage covenant, but these people are not going to uncover you to make a marriage covenant, but they are going to destroy you, completely destroy you. All the beauty, all the clothes and everything will be gone. You gave it to the idols and you gave it to gold and silver, so you are not worthy to have these things. One day will come and you will not have anything. Okay, verse 40.
They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones, and thrust thee through with their swords. And they shall burn thy houses with fire, and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet and will be no more angry. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things, behold, therefore I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God, and thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations.
What God is saying, you did not remember your past. People forget. People come from India, they come from Pakistan, they come from Somalia, they come from other countries, and when they come here, what they do? They try to kill Americans. They try to destroy Americans, and they don't care about how they're poor and how they're naked and how they were suffering, family were suffering. After coming there, they don't care. Instead of helping somebody, they try to destroy somebody. So here the word of God is saying, this is what you did, and now you are going to be naked and you are going to be helpless again. Verse 44, okay.
Behold, everyone that useth the Proverbs shall use this proverb against thee, saying, as is the mother, so is her daughter.
If you are a mother, give a good example, and then your daughter will be just like you. But if you start doing wrong thing, and I have seen this, in mother-in-law stories goes, in India and everywhere, mother-in-laws, they are looked down because they are very cruel to their daughter-in-law. And the daughter-in-law says, okay, if I'm be mother-in-law, I'll be better. But they're going worse again. And this custom is coming up to here. So the word of God is saying, somebody has to change it. So here is saying, just whatever the mother is, that will be the daughter will. Because what? They see what mother doing, and they learn from her, and they do the same thing. And then their daughter will be doing the same thing. Okay, verse 45.
Thou art thy mother's daughter that loatheth her husband and her children, and thou art the sister of thy sisters which loathed their husbands and their children. Your mother was an Hittite, and your father an Amorite. And thine elder sister is Samaria, she and her daughters that dwell at thy left hand. Thy younger sister that dwelleth at thy right hand is Sodom and her daughters.
Now here is saying, your sister, bigger sister, older sister is Samaria. How the older sister becomes Samaria, do you know? Because when Solomon was king, the kingdom was together. Then Solomon started doing idol worship. God said, I'm going to rip your kingdom. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give Judah and Benjamin to one kingdom of Judah, and all 10 tribes will be another kingdom called the kingdom of Israel. So the Israeli kingdom, their headquarters was Samaria, and Judah's headquarters was Jerusalem. So now he says, your older sister, Samaria, and then other sisters, smaller countries, that Sodom and Gomorrah and other countries, they were their sisters, younger sister. Okay, let's read verse 47.
Yet hast thou not walked after their ways, nor done after their abominations, but as if that were a very little thing, thou wast corrupted more than they in all thy ways. As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy.
Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. He says, what was their sin? Actually, they were homosexual. But the main sin, he was saying, they had a lot of food and everything. And they were so selfish, they did not share with anybody, and they became selfish, and because of that, they get into more sin. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. Verse 50.
And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters in all thine abominations which thou hast done. Thou also which hast judged thy sisters bear thine own shame for thy sins that thou hast committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than thou, yea, be thou confounded also, and bear thy shame in that thou hast justified thy sisters. When I shall bring again their captivity, the captivity of Sodom and her daughters, and the captivity of Samaria and her daughters, then will I bring again the captivity of thy captives in the midst of them, that thou mayest bear thine own shame, and mayest be confounded in all that thou hast done, and that thou art a comfort unto them.
All other countries, you thought you are better than them, but you did sin worse than them. But the time will come. I'm going to restore everything and see what's going to happen. Those sister, elder sister, and other sister, they were bigger than you, but now I'm going to give it to you as an adoption, and you make them your own daughters. Okay, verse 55.
When thy sisters, Sodom and her daughters, shall return to their former estate, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estate, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estate. For thy sister Sodom was not mentioned by thy mouth in the day of thy pride. before thy wickedness was discovered, as at the time of thy reproach of the daughters of Syria and all that are round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, which despise thee round about. Thou wast born thy lewdness and thine abomination, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant.
Now, here the word of God is saying, you broke the covenant, and you became sinful and gave a bad example to everyone. But I am not going to forget my covenant. And so I am going to keep my covenant, and I'm going to restore you someday. Okay, verse 61.
Then thou shalt remember thy ways and to be ashamed when thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder, and thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with thee, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and to be confounded, and never open thy mouth any more because of thy shame when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done, saith the Lord God.
Now here God is saying about the millennium. The time will come, all these your sins I'm going to forgive. If you remember, we read it in Jeremiah, I will make a new covenant with you, and I will forgive your sins, and I will remember your sin no more. So God is saying the time will come, and all these yours, big sister and younger sister, I'll give it back to you, and they will be your daughters, and you will taking care of them. So I am going to keep my covenant, and I will flourish you again. Okay, here the chapter finishes, and we have a few minutes. We are going to finish the chapter 17. Chapter 17, starting from verse 1.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, put forth a riddle, and speak a parable unto the house of Israel, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, A great eagle, with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had diverse colors, came unto Lebanon, and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs, and carried it into a land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. He took also of the seed of the land, and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters, and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature. His branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine, and brought forth branches, and shot forth sprigs. There was also another great eagle, with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him, and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furrows of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. Say thou, Thus saith the Lord God, Shall it prosper? Shall he not pull up the roots thereof, and cut off the fruit thereof, that it wither? It shall wither in all the leaves of her spring, even without great power or many people to pluck it up by the roots thereof. Yea, behold, being planted shall it prosper, shall it not utterly wither. When the east wind toucheth it, it shall wither in the furrows where it grew. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Say now to the rebellious house, Know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, Behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem, and hath taken the king thereof, and the princes thereof, and led them with him to Babylon.
Okay. Now here God is giving a riddle. He said there are two eagles. One eagle is very beautiful, came, and what he did, took the top of the cedar, a very tender branch, and put it in his country. And they flourished there. Who are those people? Israeli people. Babylonian people came, took the Israeli people, the kings, and a beautiful children, like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and all those people he took and put it planted there. And then God says, even though he planted there, but I was watching over them, they were just turning towards me, and they flourished, and they became big. And then he said, there was another eagle. That eagle also, what he did, he said he also plucked one twig and brought it to another mountain. The first eagle is like a Babylon, but the second eagle is the Lord. The Lord says, I will bring those people back from the Babylon, even though they were flourishing. Babylon has to fight and kill people and destroy to take the people to Babylon. But he said, I don't have to do that, because I don't have to pull them, I don't have to fight them, I don't have to do anything. I have the power to destroy the trees and make them dry or make them flourish. I am the one. So God used the Cyrus, to bring Israeli people out. And God says, now I'm going to plant that Israeli people in mountain of Israel. And you see today, Israeli people are planting so many trees and so much flourishing everywhere because God says, I'm going to do that. And so let's read the verse 13.
And hath taken of the king's seed and made a covenant with him, and hath taken an oath of him. He hath also taken the mighty of the land, that the kingdom might be base, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant might stand. But he rebelled against him in sending his ambassadors into Egypt, that they might give him horses and much people. Shall he prosper? Shall he escape that doeth such things? Or shall he break the covenant and be delivered? As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth that made him king, whose oath he despised and whose covenant he break, even with him in the midst of Babylon he shall die.
Okay, this is the one God is talking about, the king Zedekiah. He made a covenant with God. He broke the covenant. Babylonian people made him a king and changed his name. But he wanted to rebel with them and didn't want to go. And finally God says he will be going and he will be dying, and exactly happened. Okay, verse 17.
Neither shall Pharaoh with his mighty army and great company make for him in the war by casting up mounts and building forts to cut off many persons, seeing he despised the oath by breaking the covenant when, lo, he had given his hand, and hath done all these things, he shall not escape. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, as I live, surely mine oath that he hath despised, and my covenant that he hath broken, even it will I recompense upon his own head. And I will spread my net upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, and will plead with him there for his trespass, that he hath trespassed against me. And all his fugitives with all his bands shall fall by the sword, and they that remain shall be scattered toward all winds, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it.
Now, here is the word God is saying to Zedekiah. You rebel against me, one day will come, your army will be scattered, and you will die. And this is my word, and mark it, and exactly happen. Verse 22.
Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar, and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one, and will plant it upon an high mount and eminence. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs, and bear fruit, and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell.
Now here God is saying, this is the second eagle he saw. He said, I'm the one going to bring the tender branch, plant it in Israel, and they flourish, and they become a big giant tree, and all other trees and all the birds will come under the shadow. That means in the millennium, when the Israeli people were flourishing, all other people will coming to Jerusalem to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what is the picture is showing in this chapter. Verse 24.
And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry tree to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it.
See, he says, even the tree was dried, but he can make them flourish. And so he says, God is the one gives life. Just like he said, you were dying. I said, leave, and you lived. And I give you everything. So God says, I can take the dry tree and flourish it. Isaiah 53, verses 1 and 2, please read. We think about Jesus. How Jesus was born. At that time, there was Israeli people were like a dry ground. Please read.
Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground.
See, root out of the dry ground. So God knows even that there is nothing, but he can make something out of nothing. And so he says, I'm the one going to make Israeli people flourish. There was no chance that Israeli people can come and have their kingdom in Israel. And today they are flourishing. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. Thank you for giving us grace, protecting us from all the dangers and harms. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.